Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Listeners to this podcast will also get a 10% discount with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. Grab a pen and listen up for your exclusive promo code.
Game of Thrones.
You know nothing, Marcus Speller.
It'll take a nation of millions to hold us back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Pete's here.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Luke's here.
Go fuck yourself.
And, oh, good.
All right.
And Jim's here.
Hello.
Nice to have all of us here, chaps.
Footy.
Oh, my giddy.
Football.
Bloody hell.
The Mystique Ladies.
It's
we're coming on strong.
As we're otherwise known as. Germany are in the semi-final again.
It's what they do.
It's what they do very well. That's the fourth consecutive semi-final they've been in. It's a new record, ladies and gentlemen. England's arch rivals have done it again.
Yeah. They'll be glad to be even further away from us.
Yeah.
Right, even, by getting into the semi.
Geographically.
We're probably what spurred them on.
Yeah.
And I think they knew that.
It was a funny old match, wasn't it?
It's almost like Germany are like... So you got the first group, the group stage, the second round, the quarterfinals. It's almost like Germany's attitude to that part of the tournament is right. We'll just get that done, and then we'll worry about the rest of it. And because there was talk of flu,
see
in the
all
camp,
the sights now, boys. Because later on, we're going to have to really focus.
Yeah,
That's them like covered in Sudafed, off their face on Cavonia. Yeah.
It's a team for you, Pete. Yeah.
Stop sniffing.
I think.
During that game, Manuel Neuer was on his trip out of the goal like he likes to do, and I saw him dishing out Imodium to all the other players. Take one of these. Take one of these. Who needs one next? Like putting out diarrhea fires all over the pitch, and they still beat France.
Offspring mayhem. Yeah. It was better
from Germany, wasn't it? They still didn't hit the heights everyone's demanding of them, but they certainly.
Are they doing the fabled growing into a tournament peak at the right time, Jim?
Perhaps.
I love the fact that they're in the semi-final. Are they growing into the tournament?
There are a few countries where that can actually genuinely be relevant, but they are one of them.
If England were in the semi, it wouldn't be, are we growing into the tournament? It would be, can you believe what is happening?
Yeah, exactly.
It was more just that save that Neuer did right at the end, just with one hand.
Against Benzema.
No, you shall not pass.
He just went, no.
Not today.
He put his arm up and almost at the same time just like, well, that's not happening.
Yeah. Do you not see how this goes?
But he did it with this, like, the relaxed sort of manner of a man just putting his hand up. Does anyone want a Mars bar? Yep.
It was like one of those internet memes and not a single fuck was given that day. Yeah.
Save!
Manuel Neuer.
He even had the same stance as the fuck you, I'm an anteater meme.
Yeah,
anteater.
He did, yeah.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. Yeah, but you're right, Pete.
May I present to you a save?
But Germany, they won 1-0. Before the game, I thought, I quite fancy France for this.
I did too.
And then I saw
the
Germany,
cheekbones.
I saw the cheekbones.
Yeah.
And that's thrown me.
Yeah.
But that's why you fancied them.
I see. And then I saw the Germany starting lineup, and I thought, okay, they've gone closer up top, Lahm fullback, Khedira, and I thought they mean business.
Yeah, even the starting 11 just basically rather than show the names on the pitch, the BBC should have just written no over it.
Nine win.
Yeah,
yeah.
They put the Germany team up, and they flashed the France team up, and afterwards, in like a subtitle, they put not a chance.
Yeah,
I think we were calling out on this show, this very show, men of this parish were saying. he's got to put Kadira in there because Lahm looks a different player for Germany in that middle of the park that he does for Bayern Munich. He needs to play fullback. I actually think, and this is crazy for me as an Englishman to say this about Germany, of course not everything relates back to England, so I'm not talking about this with my England hat on, but I actually think Yogi Löw's picked quite an imbalanced side.
Yes,
he's picked a lot of attacking midfield players. He doesn't seem to have a lot of cover at fullback. He's had to almost, it seems a bit like he's swallowed his pride by playing Lahm there. The same way that Van Gaal had to swallow his pride to overcome Mexico to a certain extent.
But that is the sign of a great manager under in a short tournament.
Because someone said to me the other day, they said there's a feeling, I don't know if this is true, they said there's a feeling in Germany that Yogi Löw's a good coach, but they keep falling at the final hurdle too often recently. But obviously they've not won a major tournament for quite a long time by their standards now. So maybe he's starting to think, well, actually we've got to really get on with it.
Yeah, the time to decide on things is now, I suppose. Yeah, we were saying before the game, sorry to jump in there, Marcus, that despite the wealth of attacking players they have in the squad and in the starting lineup, they do seem to be missing Marco Reus. He is one of those players that can unpick a lock in a lot more of a sort of,
I know convincing way. Yeah, he's a fabulous player.
He would be a big miss for any team, I think.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Do you also think the players they've picked at holding midfielder don't necessarily fit that well? Because like Schweinsteiger playing just in front of the back four, do you think he's looked good so far this tournament?
Lahm's been doing that right. But the thing is, you can't blame Yogi Löw for doing that because Lahm's been playing a similar kind of role for Bayern.
Very well.
Yeah. But it shows, you know, that the way Bayern play is a little bit different to Germany. Obviously, it's under Pep Guardiola. So Lahm may play that position well under Guardiola, but he may not play that position well for Germany.
He may be asked to do slightly different things.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes it isn't completely transferable over.
Do we know if Yogi Löw is still insisting that his assistant wears the same clothes as him?
I don't think...
Because that's a big positive for me.
It was very warm today in the stadium, I've been told by the commentators.
Can I just say that the American Art, the people who've designed the new American Art, have annoyed me because they're playing games at a time of the day where there's a big shadow across the pitch.
It is weird. And TV screens keep readjusting to it, and it throws you.
And I was wearing prescription sunglasses because I don't have my glasses with me, so I couldn't
see
anything.
That's how cool Pete Donaldson is.
That's how good I am.
I think that's the real... That's the real crime of this World Cup.
But again, though, FIFA, the kickoff times, you know, should it not be an evening game? Or
that's why I think that's why Germany have scored so many headed goals because people just get dazzled by the sun. It's like, I can't defend this.
What was I going to say about Yogi Löw? I think the way he's changed his tactics, as you say, they looked like Germany. They look like the German sides that have gone into the latter stages of tournaments in recent years. People say that, they've not quite gone to the latter stages of the recent tournaments, which of course they haven't. But in 2010, the last World Cup, it was, as you said, Luke, the greatest national team of all time, perhaps. You beat them 1-0 in the semi.
Yeah.
In 2002, you go back to then it was a team who was supposedly not going to do that well. It was in the final.
Got found out in the final, mate, didn't they? I'd love to be found out in the final.
I'd take a 6-0 in the final. Yeah. You know.
After the Algeria game, apparently there was quite a lot of anger about the way the team played from the German media. And directly after the game, this was put to Per Mertesacker, and he said, "Well, like, what do you think teams in the last 16 are like? You might look at it and say, oh, it's only Algeria. They're in the last 16 of the World Cup.
And I've
good team they got there on merit." I mean,
if Algeria were more clinical in the final third, I think they might have actually won that game.
They got one goal disallowed right earlier.
They did.
It comes down to what I said. I've been saying all through this tournament, I don't believe that certain teams believe they can beat bigger teams.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I started to say was that you're not going to get teams dishing out hide-ins now.
No.
So I think it's unlikely that this whole thing of growing into a tournament means that teams are going to explode and give classic World Cup performances where they spank someone 4-0 in a semi. I just can't see that happening. No. People seem to be waiting for that. It'd be amazing if it does, but it doesn't mean it's bad if it doesn't.
Do you think part of the reason people have been waiting for that is because the opening to the World Cup was so sort of dramatic and entertaining?
I think people expected that to carry on.
It's starting to level out a bit now, hasn't it?
It has, but...
The entertainment's still there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're having to wait a bit longer for it in some of the extra time games, but it's still been consistently great.
Can you tell if it's going to be an extra time game, Jim?
It starts to feel like it, doesn't it? It's weird.
By half-time, it's still 0-0. I'm like, And even if it finishes 1-1 at the end of the day, still think that's got a draw written all over it.
We're
hang on a minute.
For those of you...
To clarify what you just said there, Pete, if it ends 1-1, it's got a draw written all over it.
No, I mean, if it gets to half-time and it's 0-0, you still sort of think, whatever the score may be at the end of 90 minutes, if there's goals being scored, it's still going to be a drawing match.
A score draw.
I see.
For those of you who don't know how disorganised we are, we live on the seat of our pants to the point that if if that game was extra time, we wouldn't be able to record this.
Well, yeah. We would have been recording it while we're watching it, yeah. Which I don't think we've ever done, which I think would have been, you know, lent an exciting...
We got monotask, let alone multitask. So it's not really
that. I know, but they'll play Brazil or Colombia, of course, at the time of recording. We just don't know.
Should we make it clear that actually recording this show now is almost a roundup of the last of the second round games? Mm. And we will be... It seems like a bit of an odd time to be recording, but we will be putting another show out Sunday night.
Yes.
Covering the rest of the quarterfinal game. So hold on to your hats.
iPods.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to talk about Germany, Algeria for obvious reasons because they've just beaten France.
Can we mention Neuer, though?
We can mention Neuer, yes. He's the sweeper.
Incredible sweeping antics. It was so pronounced, it almost seems like it was a deliberate tactic.
Mm.
Well, I'm sure it was.
So quick out of the traps.
And so precise. Mm. Just a split second wrong. He could get his red card.
But he looks like he'd be a decent outfield player. They said that. You'd have him at the base of your midfield.
Who was saying it? Was it maybe Love himself or somebody said that he's got the attributes of a good midfield player?
Mm. When you've got a couple of... To be fair, there's a couple of German defenders that aren't the quickest. I think he kind of needs to be out of the blocks.
Well, they're going
to
play a high line.
Well, exactly. I mean, you saw when... I can't remember which German defender it was, but he was kind of like on a sojourn upfield and he was sort of slow. He was like, oh, God.
Yeah, that was Boateng, wasn't it?
It was Boateng.
Oh, that was right at the end of the game.
Yeah, and so why nobody gave him a shout? So man on, because he just looked so slow.
He was so slow that Benzema... got all the way back to the final third, tackled him, and then roasted him. It was lovely actually seeing the forward tackle the striker in the opposite end of the pitch.
I think you're right. You touched on what something I agree with, which is if you squeeze the pitch like that and you press very high, the keeper needs to fill a massive amount of space. Hugo Lloris does it very well as well, which is why people are saying it's going to be a bit of a battle of the sweepers this game we've just seen.
Mm. Yeah. But Germany were always going to do that against Algeria. They've got to take the game to Algeria. France is a different one. And whoever they play...
To be fair to Algeria, though, it was the first half in particular. Mm. They rattled them. They really had a go at them.
True. Germany should have won the game in normal time.
Of course.
But they didn't. And it was a wonderful game and great extra time and whatnot.
Imagine learning a lesson and still getting through. That's the annoying thing. Oh, we've been taught a lesson there, but we're still through.
Yeah. Absolutely, Pete. Spot on.
What we've learned is that Neuer is basically Germany's answer to Phil Jagielka as well. So, I mean, they just keep beating us at our own game, don't they?
What we've learned is that we've got more dimensions to this team.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you talk about Germany, you think, okay, so in the first game, they hammered Portugal and take nothing away from them. Portugal didn't really turn up and have been disappointed. Then they've not really impressed. I mean, okay, I'll take the point they could have beaten Algeria in normal time.
But yeah, against Ghana, it was a bit shaky.
Against Ghana, they struggled. It's USA, didn't look very impressive. But then you look at the players they've got and you think, actually, they've probably got the world's best keeper. There's definitely an argument for it.
Yeah.
When Hummels is fit, he's one of the world's best defenders. Mm. Bastian Schweinsteiger on form is one of the world's best midfielders.
At fullback, Lahm.
Yeah. Lahm is absolutely magnificent. Closer is equal all-time World Cup scorer.
There was a little ramble celebration when he was brought off. We're glad he's not going to get the record. Yeah.
Do you think part of Germany's problem is that they're playing two centre-backs as full-backs? Obviously, getting up the wings as much.
That's what I say about the imbalance of the squad that he's picked, in my opinion. Mm. I mean, it's difficult to say. And they're through, aren't they? So you can't be too critical of it. But the closer thing is almost like obviously, he's on equal World Cup goals with Ronaldo now, for those who don't know. Mm. It's almost like he's getting complacent about it.
Well, do you know what?
I'll score next time, then. Don't worry about it. Bring me off. I'll score next time.
I thought to myself, if Brazil gets through, imagine if Closer scored the goal against Brazil.
Ooh.
That would be... You've got to say there's a lovely bit of...
Subtext.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
But we did sort of cheer when Closer came off. We were like, yay! Get him off, never play him again.
In the same way Bobby Charlton cheered when Gary Lineker came off in the Euro 92 game against Sweden.
But me and you, Max, were talking about Kroos and kind of how he's our, Lallana goes for how many million?
25, 26.
Yeah, exactly.
After one good season.
Yeah.
And he's a 26-year-old.
And Kroos is like the same kind of price. It's incredible, isn't it?
Is there not a contract situation with Kroos, though? Like he's coming to the end of his contract, I think. I mean, your point is valid.
Yeah.
I think we're not going to get onto Premier League stuff, I don't think, but Lallana is good. Got potential to be a bit of a flop, I think. But maybe a bit of that next time, next season.
Next season. Mm. Yeah. But Germany, the one thing again that we saw, and we'll come on to that when we talk about one or two of the second round matches, is that Germany against Algeria, certainly, so wasteful in front of goal. Never seen a Germany side do that. Mm. And against France, towards the end of the game, they had a couple of moments where they could have put the game away. And they didn't. And I'm a bit surprised by Germany.
Seem indecisive almost.
It seems odd to criticise a team that's got to the
semi. There was that Müller chance where Closer would have just eaten that out, that header. Mm. The Closer
against
would have
Algeria.
Had that for fun. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But even against France towards the end, a couple of moments where
you're saying they're wasteful against France as well?
Not to the same extent.
But France were pushing for a goal, weren't they?
It just said, yeah. By the end of the match, did you get the feeling that it was a real battle? For me, Germany just went, just didn't steamroll them. It just looked really easy for them. Yeah, you know, it looked easier than it needed to be.
They just held them at arm's length.
Yeah. But you do that, but you look at the Benzema chance, which, okay, the keeper saved, but on another day, he makes a better contact. I'm not saying it was a bad miss or anything, not at all.
It was a good place to put it. You see the goals totally. Go like that all
another
the time.
Another day, that flies in.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, at this level, we could say, oh, you know, Germany need to concentrate a bit harder, stop those things happening. That's Karim Benzema. You know, he's going to be able to fashion a chance somehow. They're a great team they're playing against. These things are always going to happen, and it's just about making sure that you're in a position to go through in the first place.
I'll tell you now that German football fans, they've obviously watched fabulous national teams over the years. They'll come away, obviously, very pleased, having spoken to a few recently, and they'll be a bit like, well, we've got to take our chances a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll come into that on the Belgium game in a minute. But the thing about the the Benzema thing is he looked like the sort of player who might basically wrestle the golden boot away from everyone else. I mean, he could have had seven goals. I mean, he could have had seven goals in the group stage or something crazy like that. And I would suggest that, having watched what I've just watched against Germany, France's best performance this World Cup has been against Nigeria, who are a good team. And they found it difficult. And they managed to find a way to win, didn't they? Quite comfortably in the end. And that's why I thought they were going to give Germany a game, because I don't think Germany was that good, like I said, since the first game, which is always a bit of a misnomer anyway, because teams are getting used to it and stuff. You got to say, what you got to ask yourself now is, do you think you can see Germany beating Brazil or Colombia?
I could.
And so, yeah. So
I could see Germany winning the thing, but then could also see one or two other teams.
Well, I don't. The thing is, we're getting to a preposterous situation now. We've got seven, at the time of recording, I think we've got seven games left, and it's hard to make an argument that any team have looked the best.
Yeah.
Because
that's why it's been so good.
Exactly, but this time yesterday, I would have said the best team in the World Cup has been France. But now they're out.
But then you just sort of look at how strong Germany's goalkeeper. Pretty much all of France's shots were in the 18-yard box. Pretty much all of them. And they weren't like half chances. They're a decent couple. But they still look really comfortable winning for me, Germany. They never look like the.
You know. Do you reckon they had a couple more gears, do you?
I don't know. They just seem really comfortable and really kind of like.
I agree with you.
And France are really open at the back.
Give us one of your gears, Germany.
It's funny. Then there's a Shimano.
It's funny with Germany. I think the Germany that the four of us grew up watching, you almost feared. Because you knew that these players...
Like Mike Tyson.
They'd won things. They'd won a lot of things. They knew how to win.
It just seemed like a machine, didn't it?
Absolutely. And these players... you know, this team doesn't play in too dissimilar a way, but they don't have that because they've not won stuff before. I mean, obviously, they've gone far, but if they do win this World Cup, it could just kickstart another generation like that.
Yeah,
because, as you say, like, you get those teams that approach games thinking they can't win it. And against Germany, everyone used to go in against them like that. And, I mean... there's not really a team anywhere like that now. Spain used to have it, but obviously it's fallen apart completely. And it'd be interesting to see the sort of psychological impact it has on the opponents that Germany face, if they can get that air of terrifying invincibility back.
And also, the interesting thing about that, it's a nice scene to mine that, because you're right, and the great thing about it is it only takes one hallmark result for it to come crashing down.
Yeah.
Do you think Chile would have beaten Spain if Spain didn't get absolutely destroyed by Holland? How much confidence would that have given Chile? Quite a lot, because as you say, psychologically, Spain is a big fixture up until that point, wasn't it? And now they look at it and they go, they're beatable.
They were so roundly beaten that I've been saying to people, it's amazing, like there's been no upsets. In the knockout stages, and like I just forget Spain even exists as a footballing force anymore, because they were just so roundly sent back in early on.
Yesterday's news, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what you're saying about, you know, German side in the semi final, whoever they face, if Brazil are there, Brazil will obviously think, well, we can beat Germany, because Brazil will still consider themselves the best team, country in the world. And okay, some people could argue that. But if Colombia get through, they'll think, well, we've just beaten bloody Brazil.
Yeah, exactly.
So actually, it's quite nicely poised.
You don't get to the semi-final without being confident, do you? That's why it might come undone, basically.
It's funny, but also tight as well. They don't ship goals. They just don't, like, their last quarterfinals, last three for quarterfinals. And the fact that we're talking about the last three quarterfinals is annoying. You know, they've kept clean sheets. And then you've got players like Mertesacker, Podolski, bringing them off the bench if you fancy it. Yeah. And these aren't like, you know, these are
Schürrle.
Players. Schürrle. Who,
Draxler's
to be fair,
not
missed
had
a couple
look
of lines. Incredible. Like, these aren't like big kind of like box office players. Everybody knows who they are, but they're not like, everyone's going, oh my God, we've got to get this player on. It's like, if whatever player comes on, you'll expect a level of performance that you wouldn't expect. Yeah, that you wouldn't expect anybody from any other team. It's not a gamble when you bring a German player on.
Is it grotesque?
Don't you think as well?
It's horrible.
I, I guarantee you they're not talking or thinking about Royce or anything, but if it was us and we had a player like Royce out, we'd be lamenting it the whole tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. What I started to say about Brazil, by the way, is it's funny how the pressure seems to have been reversed on them. It should be the case that for any team playing against Brazil in Brazil, you think, oh God, we haven't got hope. But it's completely the other way around, because everyone's feeling like, well, right, well, they've got to win. Yeah. We can relax a bit and just...
Brazil have got to find, I mean, this is a bit irrelevant because the show's going to come out after this game probably, but I think Brazil need to find that balance in that holding midfield area, because that's coincidentally where Colombia are strongest. Mm. You know, you've got Cuadrado running off everyone, you've got James Rodriguez, and if they can't find that balance, especially now Luis Gustavo is out, suspended or whatever he is, he's definitely not available. Mm. They're going to probably have to play Paulinho and Fernandinho in there, and I've not been impressed with either of them, really.
Mm.
And I'm sure they'll be gutted to know that I've not been impressed with them. As they prepare for their World Cup quarterfinal.
I mean, again, it's a... It will be an irrelevant statement. See a 38-year-old in the World Cup so far.
I know. Am I right in saying that Brazil aren't scheduled to feature at the Maracanã till the final?
I think so.
Really?
Arrogant.
Yeah.
Colombia, shove it up their arses.
Well, more red-hot, ball-tingling World Cup chat after this message.
Listeners to the Football Ramble are eligible for a fantastic offer with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. The easy-to-use drag-and-drop tools, responsive designs, and 24/7 customer support teams based in New York and Dublin mean you can create a beautifully designed website for as little as £5 a month. This includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes. So when you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RAMBLE to get 10% off and show your support for the Football Ramble. No credit card required. Start building your website today. A better web starts with your website.
There you are, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't lie, did I? let's have a quick look back at a couple of second-round matches that were played after the last show. Argentina won, Switzerland 0. Mm. Di Maria scored. He had a bit of an awful
He had an
time.
Absolute shocker, didn't he?
I thought the commentary...
got ragged on by the pundit.
I thought the pundits in the comments were a little bit disrespectful to him.
No, but some of the stats were amazing. Was it, did he lose possession like over 38? Like over 50 times?
It was 30-odd times in the first half. That's a half-time stat.
Yeah. Scored
the winner though, exactly. Extra time, and threw. Yeah. So yeah. You know.
The extraordinary thing was when he tried that. What do you call it? A Rabona.
Yeah,
yeah.
We tried that when his confidence.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, excuse me. Oh, goodness
Pete,
me.
You got
that's
an idea.
Terrible, I just did a Rabona. That's the noise I make.
Make sure it was but, a Rabona.
I think Rupert Fryer of South American Football.co.uk did point out like three wonderful crosses he's done from a Rabona that have both led, yeah. led to goals. Oh,
not
in,
that one,
in the Liga and stuff. Not that one.
You're only as good as your last Rabona cross.
I'm not too bothered about that. Perhaps because I wasn't really supporting Argentina and I'm not Argentinian, and it didn't really seem like a massive waste to me, because it just showed to me that actually you can look at it like, oh, you can look at it in the hackneyed sort of, oh, I used to play football pundit way and go, oh, that's such a waste, what's he doing, he's a disgrace. Or you can look at it and say, well, he's obviously still playing with confidence, he's a confident player still, he's not letting it affect him that he's having a bad game. And if you say to any attacking player, you can have a bit of a shocker, you give the ball, well, Marcus, you play up front, if I said to you you'd missed 25 chances but you'd score the winner in extra time 2 minutes to go, you'd take it.
Yeah,
you take it all day.
The point is, he had a good crossing opportunity in a knockout stage of
and
World Cup.
He
tries that and he fluffed it. And it is a bit like, what are you playing?
But I'm not denying that. All I'm saying is, if you wanted to put a positive spin on it, you could say, well, at least he's still playing with confidence.
In hindsight,
because if he shanked the ball out of play, then it's obviously a little bit different.
Well, okay.
But what was amazing about Di Maria's performance was how much energy he seemed to have in extra time. He's tearing around like it was the first minute.
He's long had a reputation for having like a third lung of any Di Maria. He never stops running. It's incredible. Like, for Real Madrid, sometimes you think, like when Robin went from being, oh, he could really be a world-class player, to that season where they won the Champions League and he was just everywhere.
Yeah.
I was at that Champions League final where they beat Dortmund. He was just all over the place. You're thinking, how is he doing it? In my head, I was thinking, drug test him.
But, well, a lot of people have said that about that magical Barcelona team as well. How do they keep going?
In reality, they obviously must have some amazing like aerobic fitness, because like, Dean Ray is just known for that.
Robin has worked on that, on both his pace and his stamina.
Looks like it.
But Di Maria, like, you look at the players that Real Madrid sign pretty much every season. It's his position rotation, effectively. Yeah. And he's forced his way back in that squad every single time. And he always comes out in the press and says, look, I'm still improving as a player. I want to be better at my positional play.
Di Maria. Yeah, he seems like
he seems like a man who loves his craft and loves getting better and loves practicing and loves working hard. And, you know, I think it does show. I think people respond to him.
Are you worried that they've signed all the best? I ain't going nowhere.
I liked
they'll have to catch me first.
I liked that he popped up and scored the winner, because if he wasn't still playing with confidence after all that time, he wouldn't have scored it. It was a confident finish.
Absolutely.
Still a lot to do when Messi laid it on for him.
Well, do you know what? In the first half, Switzerland had a couple of chances. And was it Dermic? What a chance!
Yeah. It was like the Welbeck one. Remember that?
Yes.
The Welbeck one where he just again,
it was like when you're through on FIFA and you've got too much time and you just don't really know what to do. But you don't really do anything.
You're looking back at that whole game, yeah, okay, the better team went through. Of course they did. But what an opportunity for Switzerland to go through to the quarterfinal, I thought. You know, two good chances. I mean, one fantastic chance. And then when Argentina scored, what an opportunity right at the end of the game for Jamali.
That was a bit of bad luck involved with that, though.
He's got to
come back. Of course he has, but it came back at him so fast.
I'm not talking about the second. This is me. I'm not talking about the second one. I'm talking about the first one.
Oh, the actual header.
Yeah, he was about 3 yards out.
And you know, you take that to penalties, and the lottery would have begun.
But again,
I say
it seems
lottery,
like a
I
team.
Don't know what Switzerland, Argentina like at penalties. You probably fancy Argentina, but still.
Use the Lickmore algorithm.
Yeah. Which sometimes works.
Yeah. Which doesn't it have a 100% failure record?
No, 50-50.
50-50, okay.
Yeah. It's better.
Based on penalty competitions, which is what they should be called, because Barry Davis calls it penalty competition.
Yeah.
Okay. In this tournament, you've had a 50-50.
Yeah, but before that, it's actually worked, and that's why I thought of it.
Okay.
That's why, otherwise I would have forgotten about it.
What is it?
It's basically you take three factors. It's going to be boring. The least tired team.
Yeah,
who's the least tired team?
Oh, you said this last week.
Who's the most technical team and who's the most experienced team? It generally does work.
Yeah.
It just didn't work Costa Rica, Greece. Because it's a lottery.
The algorithms are a lottery.
Yeah. Somebody rolled a D20.
Yeah.
It came wrong.
Exactly.
And then it was all over.
But I thought we saw Switzerland return into the sort of Switzerland you know, which is quite. Of course, Argentina were below par, but Switzerland deserve a little bit of credit for that. I mean, Switzerland made it difficult for them. Mm. They had chances of their own, as you've
But they did to. Again, as we've. You know, been coming back to over and over again, that particular shot from Dermic, it just seemed like they didn't think they would win.
Yeah. It was that kind of like knowing your place a little bit that people have levelled against Mexico and Chile.
I'd agree with you, because I thought Shaqiri was one of the best players on the pitch. If his decision making improves when he gets older, he could be one of the best players in the world.
He's had a good couple of goals, though, hasn't he? He's got a hat trick.
The first ever left footed hat trick.
I felt like he didn't get on the ball enough, and I felt like he didn't try and beat players enough, but I don't know if he feels like he hasn't got the confidence of his teammates.
But you're right, though. He looked like he still had energy in extra time, and in fact, in moments of extra time, Switzerland suddenly came to life. But I was just watching, going, run at the defender, run at him, have a go. And he would sort of get the ball, and he did some fantastic footwork with the ball and bamboozled a couple of the defenders. I think he nutmegged one of them in extra time. Shows you the confidence of the lad. I thought, make that count. I know it's easy for me to sit here and say this when he's in the stadium. It's very hot and it's a knockout match, etc. But I felt, if he thought, nah, sod it, I'm gonna have a go myself here, maybe Hitzfeld might have said to him, you know, go out there and do what Messi does, kind of thing.
Well, the problem is, I mean, he's obviously playing against a team who give him far less space and make it far more difficult for him. He's not been like that when he's played it. I mean, he scored his hat-trick. He's not been like that. He's had confidence, probably because he's been given a lot more space to think about things. And then you think, right, actually, these guys are going to take it.
But a couple of times he broke forward with the ball, and I thought, no, keep it and run at them. But he would then sort of slip it out wide to a teammate, and you'd think, no, he's knackered. He's just going to lose it, which of course he would. And I thought,
with the Dermish chance, though, I can't remember after how many minutes that was, but
it's close to the half-time whistle.
For me, I know it sounds like real bread and butter, sort of like, you know, foreigners, but just hit it hard and low.
I know.
Just get, you're in a nice position. You're not too straight on. When you're straight, the straighter you are, the easier it is for the goalkeeper to close the angle down. You're in a nice angle. You've got plenty of shape. You can shape the ball into the far corner.
You can take a touch.
Hit it hard and low, because no one's going to criticise you for that. Make the keeper make a difficult save.
Yeah.
No one's going to criticise you for that. And it's not as though, one, you're not Messi or Ronaldo. You're Dermot. You're a good player, but you're not a well-beaten player. Two, your team isn't 3-0 up. You know. Hit it hard and low. Yeah, and like you say, it's almost like he had too much time on his hands.
Romero got a lot of criticism for his positioning in the
Well, I don't think he's been that good. Safe, I don't think he's been that good.
No, but he at least he. I think Dermot's decision was based on the confusion of where Romero actually was. So I think maybe a little harshly criticised there.
Well, the other way to look at it is that Dermot has got Romero out of jail in a big way. He came out to get the ball, which he's never going to get. Well, and once you come out, you can't really go back. And as I said to you guys before, well, as you know, he's not playing much football this season, Romero, and he could be the weak link for them. Because he's just not experienced this season. He's not in form. He's experienced as a goalkeeper, but he's not played much.
Yeah, true of Cesar as well, though. And you know,
yeah. Well, Cesar's
doesn't
some,
seem to be affecting him.
Cesar's had some journey, hasn't he, back to the squad. And he's really grabbing the opportunity.
Shame to see Otmar Hitzfeld bow out of the game.
Yeah, and his brother died, didn't he? Which is really sad for him. Yeah, it's a really sad story, actually.
But Hitzfeld, a magnificent manager.
Yeah, two Champions League wins.
As a manager, people talk about him as being Bayern Munich's best ever manager. Not bad, Petey.
Well, that's something to hang your hat on, isn't it?
Something to hang all of your hats on. The Argentinians will play Belgium. In the next round, they will play Belgium.
I'm so excited we're talking about USA-Belgium now. You probably can't tell it from
it's 4th of July. Is it Independence Day?
It's such a shame that...
I wish we were celebrating a famous USA win on Independence Day. I'd have got a pecan pie in.
I'd have had a Twinkie.
I'd have had some of that yellow mustard that they put on the hot dogs.
I'd have had a big fucking gun.
I'd have just had a soda.
Would you?
Yeah.
Buy me a soda. Let's me in the parking lot.
Maybe a nice tea.
Yeah.
A nice tea. Tim Howard.
Yeah. Tim Howard, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. And in he goes into the New York.
Got a call from Barack Obama, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Well, him and Dempsey.
Yeah.
Demp. Imperious.
We're not going to patronise in the United States because this is done out of love.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't think we ever have.
Imperious in goal. No, we just talked about pecan pies and yellow mustard. Though.
And buying guns, that's true. Guns. So we're not going to patronise
the
USA because
of... Say, fatty.
Howard, of course, made more saves in a single game than any other player in World Cup history since records began.
They weren't the most spectacular save, and they were kind of saves that you'd be disappointed if you...
Absolutely. It's hard to think of a world-class one in there. They're all solid saves.
Well, the one with his feet, was it against Morella?
Yeah, that was great. But it was just the growing pressure of it, because Belgium were just hammering on the door.
But any save of a one-on-one is good. Even if it hits it right at you, because you've stood up, you've not played your move.
But also, it's just nice to see a footballer, in the twilight of his career, let's say, just get so many plaudits at this point in his career. It's like somebody's noticed him.
Well,
it's like when Helen Mirren became really popular. And it's like, well, why is it happening now? She's been brilliant for ages.
I imagine a lot of those players in that US squad will look up to Tim Howard because he's an established Premier League star. Yeah. And that's obviously what a lot of them would essentially aspire to. And so he plays a big role in that team, clearly. A pastoral role as well as a sort of important role in goal. And
good beard.
Great beard. I don't want to take anything away from it, but at the same time, I feel like it's a responsibility. If we're going to analyse the game, we should probably say that Belgium's finishing was really profitable.
It was,
and they should have done better.
It was poor.
And actually, the amount of chances they carved out for themselves, it took Lukaku to come on to say, look, come on, we've got to do the business.
But
here.
They were superb at making those chances. It was
kept.
Strange.
It was relentless. It was absolutely relentless.
It was the kind of game in which Andy Cole would have scored once.
And even Heskey.
But it was almost like at some point during the game, USA were like, right, they're going to have chances. We're unable to stop them.
Yeah.
Let's go toe to toe and see if we can get a famous win. Mm. And it was such a shame that they conceded two goals in extra time because of course they scored by it. I was absolutely loving it. I celebrated that like an England goal. It was absolutely magnificent. Yeah.
Wondolowski.
Oh God. Now, people saying that he was, because I thought Wondolowski
was flagged. We had a
little
disagreement, didn't we? I was just really annoyed with him, and you went, no, it was offside. I thought it was.
I thought it was flagged offside. He clearly wasn't offside.
No, he wasn't offside, no.
So there was confusion. Some people were saying, no, the lino just flagged for a goal kick. Whatever was given, he should have scored.
Landy Cakes thought it was a decent chance, let's say.
He's suddenly piped up, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's just because they've gone out, or I don't know. He was critical of Klinsmann's tactics. He felt that... the players gave it everything, but from a tactical point of view, they didn't set up to succeed and didn't really go for it.
Well, if Wondolowski's done anything, he's done everyone a favour, because if he scored that and it was wrongly ruled out for offside, hell would have broken loose.
Actually, you know what? It might have helped cement football in the US even more, because
they'd have felt wrong.
Yeah, and as England fans, we've all bonded over that in the past. So maybe it would have been a good thing for them.
Yeah,
I really do. I mean, a lot of people were saying that the Americans were fantastic, and other sides, i.e., England, could learn from that, and it's absolutely true. But then, as you say, Luke, sometimes when we talk about England and England have got to do this and they've got to do that and da 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 da, and yes, those points are right. But when you single out just the tournament, sometimes people, they forget, if you like, the football factor to this, that, that results can happen. Teams can make runs to the quarterfinals, like we've seen with Costa Rica at the time.
But they didn't have an easy group, though. That's what the thing of the US.
No,
there was no guarantee that they were going to get
absolutely,
out of the group.
Absolutely. But what if, when Ghana are 1-1 with Portugal, they're piling pressure on, probably should score. Ghana 2-1, they then go through. You know, if Portugal don't score in the last second...
People forget circumstance there.
Exactly, this is what I'm saying. Right. Belgium could have ran out 3-0 winners there.
But I just think I'd like to remove the point from the England lens, really. I'm not saying that, oh, the US was such a great performance and that they should be, England should learn from them. I mean, maybe there are things England can learn from about team unity and hard work, and that's maybe there are, maybe there aren't, I don't know. But the point is, for the relative ability and the relative experience of that squad to come up against Belgium, who you could make a decent argument for, who've got arguably the best squad in the competition.
One of.
Still, at least one of. Mm-hmm. Then it's to be applauded, and of course that's a rod of luck. But I should make it clear that if I was watching England beat Belgium, and Belgium had that many chances against England, I would be pelting them, and probably and rightly so, I feel. So it's not about doing it for an England lens, it's about actually applauding the performance and saying, this could be the time that the US have come of age in a tournament. And had they gone through, I mean, it would have been absolutely remarkable. Because the amount of people that have, from what I've been told, have jumped on board with it in the US is actually quite impressive.
Yeah. I think that, you can't forget 2002, they got to the quarter final. But I think this time, like we said before,
it feels like more of a watershed now, though.
It's strange, isn't it?
They seem to have captured the hearts and the minds of the population, or certainly large parts of the population.
And also, I think, you know, people always used to talk about, the various cultural, you know, makeup that the US has, with so many different people from all over the world. But I think that football never had the exposure before that it has now. Even in, you know, when they got to the quarterfinals before, like, just the internet just gives you football from all over the world. People in the US couldn't have seen that before, so they can see how good it is in La Liga and how good it can be in the Premier League. And I think that's really helping everyone get
but
on board.
I think, as I said when we were talking about this downstairs just before the ramble started, it's like when the US get far in a competition and they do really well, it will become more popular. So I don't understand why, you know, baseball's getting up and out and sort of
really
treating it like
that,
the new threat, like commie threat.
But the Donovan thing, I just don't think is valid, because he said that the USA didn't set up to succeed, really. That was his word, wasn't it? Well, one, they've got for a group, a tough group.
A ridiculously tough group.
Two, if he doesn't think they're going for it, did he not watch the last half hour against Belgium? Holy shit. They could have gone out 5-0.
Yeah.
But they didn't care.
I think Green's goal was his first touch at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's only just recently been drafted into the Bayern Munich first team. I don't know if that was a bit of, I don't know enough about US football to know, but I don't know, that seems to me like it was a really left field pick to call him up. He's obviously got a good reputation. He scored a lot of goals for Bayern Munich second team, I know that, but he's only been called up to their first team relatively recently. I don't even know if he's played for their first team. So it was a bit of a left field call up, which seems like it was to me anyway. But another point I really wanted to make was that the pundits were, and the commentators were talking about Fabian Johnson playing right back, who obviously had to go off injured. And Danny Murphy, I think it was, made a really interesting point, saying that he thinks it's not a coincidence that so many of those US players got hamstring injuries.
Yeah, he said
that their training seems to be very aerobically focused. Mm-hmm. A lot of sprinting, a lot of running. Fine, that's a side point. The point I want to make was when DeAndre Yedlin came on.
My God.
You liked him, didn't you?
He was excellent.
Superb.
I mean, anyone with eyes can see how good he was. But the point was that I read around a little bit, and a few people were saying, making quite an interesting point, which was, actually, that is a sort of athlete that would have been lost to soccer in the US. To football, he would have been lost. He's obviously such a talented athlete. He would have probably gone to, I don't know, like track and field or whatever it may be.
Fashion. He would have gone to fashion.
Very well dressed. But he's actually chosen to go into football, which apparently, and forgive me if I'm wrong, and American listeners will get in touch if I am, no doubt, it's a big thing that a player or an athlete of his clear ability and performance has actually chosen football.
We said this 4 years ago, didn't we? I remember you saying this 4 years ago.
It's great. Yeah. It's great.
Certainly financially in the United States, that is not one of the big ones, is it?
No, right. But I do you know what? I mean,
Kaká's gone to
Orlando
Major
City,
League
is it?
Soccer?
I think it's Orlando City, isn't he? He's gone to. I love watching him play. I thought it was the USA-Belgium game for me was the best game of the tournament. It's so entertaining.
Yeah. Incredible. Like within the 90 minutes, that's got to be the best 0-0 I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
Actually, I did enjoy the Germany-Algeria. But what was incredible was when they 2-0, the game was gone, it was dead and buried. But it wasn't, though, was it? And 2-1, and then that lovely free kick routine. If that had have come off, I'd have just imploded. I'd have died very, very happy.
It should have gone down. It should have gone in. It should have dinked him.
Ah, if it was a dink, that'd have been the end of me.
Yeah.
big pink gas.
So long, suckers. I'm done.
Can't do ramble this week. Marcus has turned into a gas. Luke inhaled him.
If I wanted somebody to inhale me.
Always here for you, mate.
Thank you, brother.
I will consume anything.
Damn right. Belgium will play Argentina. It will be an interesting one because Argentina, have they played a team who can attack well? Nigeria can do, but Belgium, you would have thought, had better attacking players. But also,
they've certainly got a non-blunt edge to their sod.
Indeed.
Up top.
Absolutely. But also, they can defend well. I mean, they're good across the pitch, Belgium. And it will be so interesting. And Argentina, it was interesting. Guillaume Balague tweeted that Argentina, he said, you look at this players, they've got a lot of knocks, there's a few little niggling injuries, they're tired.
They're going to face Lukaku.
Yeah. And they're not.
Maybe not.
More knocks will happen.
And he said, inside the camp, it doesn't look like they're enjoying their football. Which is very interesting.
The stars had to align for Belgium and USA to play that sort of game. And the stars were that Defoe was out, suspended, and he'll be back for Argentina. And that the substitutions that Mark Wilmots made, how he could not see how knackered Fellaini and Witzel were.
Yeah.
And he left them on, took off Hazard, which could have been his Peckham and Riquelme moment.
Yep.
They could have gone out because of that decision. Mm.
It was almost like punishment, though, for me. It was kind of like, right, if you turn up on the pitch that unfit,
you're playing.
You're staying on.
Like Wilmot, it's almost like Wilmots would pick Witzel and Fellaini because they've got the same hair and they look good together in the middle of the park, aesthetically. But no one could tell me. I mean, he may have been able to in the past, and who knows, he may be able to in the future, but currently, Mario and Fellaini cannot play in that role at the top level.
No.
not good enough.
No.
He's not got the feet for it. He's not got the athletic capacity for it. He's just not suited to that role.
Apparently Van Gaal's going to bin him off.
Well, I'm not surprised, but I don't know what it
after
is.
After they destroy them in the semi-final.
But is it just his reputation? Like, now he's signed for Manchester United. Like, would he have got so much rope to hang himself with if he was still at Everton? He was a completely different player, though.
He basically rinsed United a couple of times, didn't he? Playing off the front man, being all locked. Gangly elbows and awkward to play against. And that's perfectly valid. That's a great position to play, and he played it well. At some point, someone decided that he was like a holding midfield player. He never has impressed in that role, and he's never looked like that player. And it seems to have almost leaked out to the national team, where he's now played in important games there. It's stupid.
Well, to use, like, you know, a Premier League example, it would be a bit like a club, you know, maybe a year or two ago, signing Kevin Nolan. Like a bigger club, you think, well, can he make the step up? And then playing him as a holding midfielder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit strange. It's not what he does. He plays that sort of...
I mean, the only thing I would say is, obviously, Defoe was suspended, and I think Moussa Dembélé had a knock and couldn't really play. So, in fairness, he may be third choice in that position or whatever. But, I mean, it seemed very strange, and it almost cost them their place in the World Cup.
Well, the same with Dembélé, though. He plays usually a bit deeper, I suppose. At Fulham, he was played further forward.
But he does look better than Fellaini doing.
Oh, he does, yeah. But he can really damage teams. Dembélé, I think he's an excellent player. Just before we move on, the US, Obama said on the phone to Dempsey and Howard that the team carried themselves with a lot of class and they were great role models for a lot of sportsmen in the States. Oh, damn right.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that they're out of the tournament, but my goodness, we've enjoyed
it. Well, they made their mark, they made an impression. I don't think that it's patronising to suggest that the USA never really felt that they would win it. But surely, if you don't think you can win it, then what you want to do is make an impression on it. And they've certainly done
Getting out a bloody tough group as well.
Yeah, absolutely right, yeah.
My goodness. Elsewhere in Brazil, what's been happening? Police in Rio have claimed that a FIFA official has been linked to a $90 million ticket scam, illegally reselling World Cup tickets. Including some that were originally allocated to players.
Wow.
Interesting. In a totally unrelated story, there was a tweet...
Robbie Earl has been seen.
A tweet's been doing the rounds earlier with some punter on his hands on a World Cup ticket, which had Argentina FA president and FIFA senior vice president Julio Grondona's name on it. Totally unrelated.
Yeah, totally unrelated.
It's not the same story.
But that's a nice seat, goodness me.
Yeah, Gordon. But who do you have to sit next to, though? Bloody Nora.
Jack Warner's probably sold 100,000 tickets for fucking stadiums don't exist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the game's definitely happening, just wait a bit.
Jack, is the World Cup happening in Argentina? Yes, of course it
is. Just take your seat. Just get
your... I'm the only one here.
Jack, my ticket's arriving. It's for something called the Maracas. I don't think that's a stadium. Yes, it is.
It'll be ready soon.
Yeah.
In Russia, Fabio Capello will have to face Parliament to explain their poor World Cup showing.
He'll blame it on the introduction of goal line technology and Frank Lampard's goal.
Well, he's been described.
I'd love him to turn up in the dock, right?
Yeah.
In Parliament, in the
swimming
box
trunks
or whatever. Yeah, swimming trunks.
Say fuck off.
Those sandals that you have to wear without socks, and the ones with me with the Velcros on them, and just say and his glasses, and just say no comment to every question.
Surely Capello will just quit over that. That's an outrageously disrespectful thing to try and make anyone do.
There might be 7 million odd reasons why he doesn't want to quit yet.
Yeah, true.
Toffees. Well, actually, he's going to get all his toffees.
Double that and a bit more. He's been described as a thief due to his £7 million a year salary.
He's been described
as a thief because of his £7 million a year salary.
And he stole all of our hearts.
I love the rationale of
gave
like,
them back broken.
The Russian FA going to Capello, right, yep, and saying, we're well aware of your record. We want you as our manager. This is how much you'll be paid. No, I want
a
bit more.
Here's your contract.
The negotiation happens. Mm. You're hired on that basis, right? Everyone agrees. Presumably everyone signs. Later on,
they qualify.
Oh, you thief. Yeah. No, I'm not a thief. That is not
the opposite of a thief.
Yeah. I mean, he got into a World Cup. They haven't been to a World Cup for a little while, I don't think.
Indeed.
But yeah, his contract takes him up to the next World Cup, which of course is in Russia.
It's a lot of speedos.
Yeah,
can buy a lot of speedos with that.
No qualification needed. Lovely time.
Yeah, yeah.
Where shall
I have a friendly next week?
Somewhere.
How cold is Moscow again?
He'll be given £15 million in compensation if his contract is terminated. You can imagine the Russians going, He's got us again. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Got us again.
This man knows his onions, doesn't he?
Go on, Marcus.
You can imagine a meeting.
Go on, do it, Sven.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
You can imagine a meeting between the Russian FA delegate and the English FA delegate, and the Russian FA is just mad about Capello, and the English FA guy just going, I know. I did warn you.
In other international managerial stuff, there's rumours linking Diego Simeone to the Spain and Argentina jobs if they're up for grabs in the coming weeks.
That'd be
a bit too early, perhaps?
I think so, yeah.
But then,
because I think it'd be a shame for football to see so much less of Simeone now when he's clearly doing something very good.
Would you sort of make the leap now rather than maybe have a disappointing season with his club side, possibly?
I don't know. I mean, he's still like a decade away from international management, surely, Simeone.
Yeah, there does seem to be a conventional wisdom that it's a job that that comes along a bit later. And also, the point I want to make is a similar point to Louis van Gaal, where people seem to think that when Louis van Gaal managed the Netherlands in 2002, he was too stubborn and he tried to try and impose his club philosophy onto the players at international level. And he didn't have enough time with the players to do that, so he had to change. Simeone's a very involved and intense manager. It would almost be like giving Guardiola an international job. Mm. How successful would he be with not having the time and the access to the players?
Mourinho didn't want to be an international manager yet. But then, on the personal front, he does have family in Argentina. I think his son is over there, so he might think to himself,
yeah, I'll have a bit of that. Yeah. On the other hand, let's not be disrespectful. I mean, Sabaya's still Argentina manager and they're still in the World Cup, so they might win it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they were just the rumours, of course. That's the rumour mill.
Yeah.
Up yours, rumour mill. Let's have some correspondence, Pete.
Yeah, well, the question was, tonight's question was, since Manuel Neuer hates staying in his goal, what would you have him doing around the house to fill the time?
How come you're doing correspondence this week?
I think I talk too much.
Luke doesn't have access to a computer.
You've been taken off it.
Oh, we're in the only building in the whole world that hasn't got Wi-Fi, so I haven't got access to a computer. But no, because I talk too much, so Pete's doing it instead.
Okay.
Pete's put his radio voice on as well.
I like that one.
Christian Barclay says, there's a jar of silver-skinned pickled onions at the back of our cupboard from several Christmases ago that needs opening. Hashtag strong grip.
Yeah, I like that. Pete's gone from Pete Donaldson to Absolute Radio's Pete Donaldson. Now.
Exactly. I like to put my Absolute Radio hat on.
Absolute Radio with Pete Donaldson.
Ball Ake Blog says, get him to scream Schnell Schnell at the old girl who does the dusting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who's the old girl?
A lot of sweeping. It's a bit rude, isn't it? Richard Cracknell, sweeping. Sweeping, sweeping, sweeping. Ollie Britton says, don't you mean in and around the house?
Gardening would count, yeah.
I like Connor's effort, which is, I hate cold toast, so I'd have him race to the toaster and get it out before it cools off too much.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, someone's found his Wi-Fi.
What the fuck is this?
I've got 3G on my phone.
Game Mailad says that he'll go to bed with no supper for being a very Neuer-y boy. Anyone? Ooh. Guys,
that's a stretch. That's a stretch.
That's not a stretch. The stretch to save that goal from Benzema.
Can I just say, Gerard Neeson, who clearly hasn't watched any World Cup football this summer, I'd have him swatting flies. He loves a good flap, does Manuel.
Stop doing Pete's bit.
Sorry, Pete.
Graham Hill says, whiskey disregard on Twitter, which I quite like. Probably have him look after my alcoholic dad as he's so good at shot stopping. Hashtag, it's only a joke. Hashtag after the intervention.
Oh, my goodness.
There we go.
Any more? Any more?
Swatting flies, he lives with a flap, as Luke's already put out. Neil says he's pretty much a sweeper, so I'd give him a broom, put the best of Kraftwerk on and let him loose.
Ah, good.
Mark Stahl says, fixing my mother's car. I don't know how mechanically minded he is, but he must be better than this piece of shit mechanic.
Wow. Caught someone at a bad moment.
Lovely old job.
I mean, presumably he keeps his car in his house.
Yeah. Hunter Miller says, channeling his inner Manuel and serving up / clearing dinner, etc. Hashtag Mr. Faulty.
Yeah. Any more?
Matthew Spate says, keeping me company. He seems like a nice fella.
Yeah, you don't have to do them all.
All right. Well, just tell me to stop whenever. It's fine. I'm trying to find a good one. Stop. I didn't concatenate them because my Twitter wasn't working.
Stop now, you stupid cunt.
Oh, no.
Oh, what? I was talking to Neuer.
Really? Come on. You're much better than that, Luke. Well, a little better than that, Luke.
All right, I'll finish this one. Matt Elm says, feeding the lambs, washing the closers, cleaning the car with the hosel. And babysitting his little cunts. So good.
Cunts. Very good.
What was that guy's name? Thanks for rescuing
that
whole
show. That was Matt Elms. Thank you, Matt Elms. Good.
Matt Elms saving the show.
Yeah.
Right, that's it. We'll be back very soon after the rest of the quarterfinals are done.
We should have got Neuer to save the show. He saves everything else. Or Tim Howard.
Big Bants. If you want to get in touch, the Twitter is @FootballRamble. The email address is show@thefootballramble.com.
That means you've got to hurry up.
And the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Don't know the gym.
Laters.
Bye.
That's yours, Holland. Goodbye.
Oh, well, dignity kept then.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know what the fuss is about.
It's Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer. Remember that one?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.